Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. And oh, by the way, we would like to invite you to come and worship with us at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California. 91786. Let me repeat that. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California. 91786. We're in an upper room. Okay, we're located near 11th Street. That's for those of you who are familiar with Upland, California. We're near 11th Street in an upper room. 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California. Okay, our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's right, in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and join us and tell your friends, anybody that live out in this area where we are, just have them to come on out in the Inland Empire area, okay? I would like to say a hearty hello to all of our faithful UCA members and visitors, okay? Okay, so now, here's what I want you to do. Call, text, or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to call in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. And you can also look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and just click on the link where you see the post of today's show in order to listen on your computer. You can also click on the link any day and time, even after this broadcast. It could be this week or next week. It doesn't matter. Just click on the link where you see the post of this broadcast and listen to the entire program from your computer. Okay? All righty. Well, the title of my message today is The Price He Paid, The Price Jesus Paid for Our Redemption. Now, we're thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day, we Christians, every day, we're thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we have no idea what it was like for Jesus to redeem us. Yes, daily, you know, all the times we say, yes, Jesus died for our sins and, and he's alive forevermore. And we say that, but do we know the preparation, what it took? We don't know how bad he suffered. We don't know how serious the work of redeeming us was. Just think about it. The God of the universe, the creator, the great creator of all things died for us. He suffered for us. It was necessary for him to restore all things. That means all things in the heavens and on the earth. Because when Adam fell, he caused a breach in the heavens, which caused the earth to be slightly off its axis. That's right. That's where we stand right now. The earth is slightly off of its axis. The earth was affected by Adam's fall. That's why the earth is in rebellion against mankind, even to this day. That's why we have things like tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, rotten fruit and vegetables, famines and droughts, and so on. The earth is in rebellion because of the fall of mankind. But Jesus came so that all can be restored, renewed. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, all shall be restored, and mankind will be able to complete the Great Commission, the commission to multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. It's all because Jesus died for us and was resurrected. So stay with me for just 1 hour, and by the Spirit of the Lord, we will delve deeper into the price Jesus had to pay for our redemption. Stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Always living victory.
listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Every true believer, every pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, every worker, whether you are an administrator at a church in charge of food or clothing at the church, whether you are a minister of music, no matter what you do for the glory of God the Father, as long as you are operating under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are an ambassador for Christ, which makes you a UCA member. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I pray and I ask that you lift the people up this day, Lord. Lift them up to another level that will bring them closer to you. Help the people to wax strong in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit as they hear your word, Lord. Let their faith in you become stronger, as your words say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let their faith be strong in you, Lord, and let them understand your word and be prepared and prepare themselves and be ready for the great move of the Holy Spirit that you are going to do in this hour. Help us, Lord, to get into the flow of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let's get into the message for today. The price he paid, the price Jesus paid for our redemption. In the eternal, God created his spirit, his wind, his breath, and in his breath, he put energy, creative power, intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, along with hidden revelation. And then he put sound and frequencies in his breath. And with that, he brought forth his word, which is his language, his thoughts, his ideas, his concepts, his plan, his order, his proclamation, his decree, his will, his laws, his desires. God also created a name for himself so that all of his creation would know him, because he had no name in the eternal. He just existed. He was always there. There was no one or nothing to identify him as the great self-existing one that causes existence. There was no one but him, he himself only. Therefore, he made himself a triune God and called himself Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, although he is one God. And in order for his creation to know him, he had to create communication. Therefore, he became his word. God, who is the word, brought forth comprehension. Or should I say his word became him. He became his word. His word became him. God, who is the word, brought forth comprehension, meaning, and purpose. God put all of this in his breath that went into his word and caused it to energize and move forward from himself to create space out of nothing. And in that space, his word created all that exists, the universe, and so on, including his very own likeness and image, even his own Shekinah glory, his own light. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Yes, the great God created all things spiritual and all things natural, visible and invisible. God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning means in the beginning of all created things. All things have a beginning except God. God always is, always was, and shall always be, because he is eternity. God is eternity. God is now. God created the heavens in all of its many realms and dimensions, the celestial beings, angels, and so on. And then he created earth, which is in the natural realm. Earth is in the natural realm. All things in the beginning that he created was waiting for the creation of mankind. All that God created, including the stars, the moon, everything, was waiting for the creation of mankind. The spirits, the host of heaven, the angels, and so forth, all were waiting for the creation of mankind. They were all excited about mankind. That's when the great God changed his name to Yahweh Elohim, or Lord God, because he was getting very personal. He was creating man. But before he created mankind, he did, like I said earlier, he created an image of himself. And if we would have been able to see that image that God created of himself back then, we would have seen the glorified Jesus Christ that we know of today. So when God created Adam, the first God-man, he created him in his own image, which is the image and likeness of the glorified Jesus Christ. Therefore, Adam was covered or clothed in glory. After a while, both Adam and Eve gave up their right to rule the earth. Although they were created beings, still they gave up what would be like their birthright. And they gave it up through a lie and deceit. They gave their authority over to Satan. Therefore, Satan took God's earthly kingdom and brought forth nothing but darkness, evil, death, decay, poison, sicknesses, hatred, violence, murder, selfishness, greed, lust, pain, anger, distress, lies, jealousy, strife, thievery, perversions, and foolish pride. So instead of the earth being the land of the living, it became the land of the dying. God had to bring his authority back to mankind, but the only way to do it was for God himself to become a man. But in order for God to become a man and die for the sins of the world, he would have to be born into the world. He had to become a descendant of Adam. Couldn't have any of Adam's fallen natured blood to flow through him. So his birth into the world had to be a miraculous birth. So God waited until the meridian of time and found a young virgin. She would be the human incubator that would house his holy seed. That young virgin was Mary, and the holy seed was Jesus. This is what the angel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God," which means heir of God. God became a man in order to deliver mankind from hell and to reconcile mankind back to God the Father. And God, as a man, called himself the Son of Man, meaning the son of the original man, Adam, which means he was Adam's heir. Remember now, Adam was a god over the earth, but he gave that position up. So now here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. who is also now the Son of Man because he's been born into the human race. So now he's Adam's heir. What does that mean? It means that as a man, God will inherit the earth that Adam gave over to Satan. This earth was never to belong to Satan at all. It was always for mankind. Therefore, God had to be a man in order to inherit the earth. And he is called the Son of God because God was to be his inheritance. If you inherit God, then you have dominion and authority over the heavens and the earth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He inherited God. And by inheriting God, he inherited the heavens and the earth. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the great I am, the self-existing one, the creator of all things and all existence, the king of the universe, the king of glory, yes, the great God made his great and powerful word, which is God himself, a man. He made himself a human being. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was God right in the midst of his people. For the first time, God was tangible. People could physically see him, touch him, talk directly to him, physically and literally walk with him. The Word became a man. And as a man, God showed the people some of the benefits of the kingdom of the kingdom realm of God. He showed them the benefits of the kingdom of God by healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, walking on water, controlling the weather, feeding a multitude of people, being transported from one place to another and being transformed, and many, many other signs and wonders. Jesus showed them and us what it is, what it's like to have the seven spirits of God to dwell upon you. All the good he did in the presence of the people, all the blessings, all the joy he brought to many of these people, including deliverance from bondage of all kinds, deliverance from mental bondage, spiritual bondage, emotional bondage, and physical bondage. All the good he did caused the people to begin to praise him. They cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us. It was praise and adoration that they was giving him. They went on to say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They put palms down on the ground and their prayer cloths also as Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, receiving their praise as king. As it is written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. However, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God in the flesh, came to this world for purpose, to take the sin of Adam and place it upon himself. He came to die for the sins of the world. That's why he is called the sacrificial lamb of God. God offered himself to be tortured and killed. But believe me when I tell you this, Jesus really didn't want to do this because the Lord was very well acquainted with the Roman laws and the religious beliefs and the way they punish the people in those days. He knew that he was going to go through it in the worst way. He knew about crucifixion. The very thought of this caused so much anguish that it created a condition known in medical terms as hematidrosis. Hematidrosis, bleeding sweat. This strange effect sometimes happens when emotional pressures are so great that tiny blood vessels burst in the sweat glands and mixed blood with sweat. It mixes blood with sweat, causing great drops of blood to roll down the face along with total exhaustion. That was exactly what the Lord was going through at this point. This was even before he was tortured or even going into to be crucified. He was in the garden during this time. The human part of God did not want to go through this crucifixion and suffering. That's why Jesus asked if this cup could be taken away. In other words, he asked if there was another way to save mankind. He wanted out, but he as a man, God as a man, he submitted to the will of God and said, not as I will, but thy will be done. Although they really couldn't kill Jesus, he had to lay down his own life for us. But they really tried. They couldn't do it, but they really tried. They caused a lot of pain and suffering. Pilate, who was willing to let Jesus go, but instead he delivered the Lord to be scourged before the crucifixion. Pilate thought that if he scourged Jesus bad enough, the Jews would be satisfied and just let him go. But that didn't happen. Jesus was whipped or flogged with a leather whip, which consists of pieces of steel, balls of lead, which were shaped like barbells and dipped in sheep's blood to make them sticky, and in ground pottery to make them sharp. And also sharp bones. They added sharp bones. Scourging alone was used to kill people. It was generally separate from crucifixion because there was no guarantee that the person would come out of it alive. But the Lord did not allow himself to die by scourging. He had to continue on to be crucified for us. Jesus, no doubt, was naked and his hands tied to an overhead beam during this whipping, as that was their custom. That was the custom of the Romans to whip you like that, being naked and your hands tied to an overhead beam. You can imagine how the flesh of his skin was being ripped with every strike. It was so bad that his bones were exposed. Most men died from the whipping alone. Now, we're still talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God manifested in the flesh, being tortured like this. I heard a man of God, an author by the name of Timothy Combs, speak of the 39 lashes that Jesus received and how each lash was for a particular disease or sickness. It was for healing and deliverance. He said that there were 39 major diseases, with cancer being one of them, and the lashes represented the healing of each one. Paul even spoke of receiving 39 lashes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one, or except one, 39 stripes. That was how the Jews did their flogging. But the Romans would flog you until the flogger got tired. The intentions of the Romans was for you to be able to carry your cross after being flogged. But most people died at the flogging. They flogged and scourged Jesus so bad that he could only carry his cross for a few steps. Jesus was not physically able to carry that cross. We truly don't know how many lashes or stripes Jesus actually received. The Bible doesn't make that clear, but I'm sure it was more than 40, because it was the Romans doing the flogging, not the Jews. So if there were more than 40 lashes, that makes sense. If each lash represented a healing or deliverance, because it was said that there are about 80 plus different types of autoimmune diseases in existence. But today, there could be even more, and they affect more than 23 million Americans, not to mention how many people all over the world. Therefore, Jesus took the 40 lashes minus one for the Jews, and all the rest of the lashes was for the Gentiles, whatever number that was. Then they continued with the mocking and torturing by dressing him in purple and putting a crown of thorns on his head. Now, these thorns were not made into a little circle around his head, as tradition tells us. It was more like a cap or something that fit the entire scalp. And these thorns were easily 1 to 6 inches long and pushed down into his skull, and they still continued beating him on the head while the thorns were still in his head, beating them further into his skull. After they had completed their mocking by falsely whipping and bowing down to him, they took the purple off of him and put on his own clothes and took him to be crucified. His flesh is hanging in ribbons as he is ordered to carry a cross that weighs over 100 pounds for 650 yards to Golgotha, with the rough wood gorged into his torn back. Somewhere along the way, or at Golgotha, they had taken his clothes off of him, for it is said that he hung there naked. So they took his clothes off of him. Now this was total humiliation. He was already dehydrated and weak, and having no rest at all for hours. He just couldn't complete the walk of carrying a heavy cross. He could hardly even stand up. So they compelled Simon the Cyrenian to carry the cross to Golgotha. And by the way, Golgotha means the place of the skull. Isn't that where our spiritual battles take place? In the skull, which is our minds. Our God covered everything. When he died on the cross, he died body, soul, spirit, and mind. He left nothing undone. Now they put him on the cross and put nails in his hands or wrists and his feet, you know, that being overlapped. These are not little nails that we would buy at your general hardware store. These are big, thick nails. They were actually spikes, 9-inch spikes that were strong enough to hold his body up on a cross. The Lord was screaming in pain. Think of it. This was the creator of heaven and earth, the word of God made flesh. This was Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God himself, screaming in pain and agony with each pounding of the hammer as they were hammering those nails into his hands and his feet. I bet his screaming rang out in the heavens. I believe this was the only day that the heavens was sad. The prophet Isaiah wrote all about the sufferings of Christ 700 years before it actually happened. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm sure if his holy angels could have had their way, they would have destroyed everyone involved. These people had no idea that God was right there in their face. He was Emmanuel, God with us. The people had no idea what they were doing to the one true and living God. When they lifted the cross up with him nailed to it and let it drop in its slot, you know, they dropped it down in the slot, it made a big jolt and caused the weight of his body to drop only to be held up by the nails or spikes, causing more pain. The Lord was bleeding so badly and his body so marred that it was unrecognizable. Isaiah prophesied about this hundreds of years before it happened. Isaiah 52 verse 14, as many were astounded at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He was unrecognizable. Jesus was also unable to breathe. So with what little breath or little strength, I'm sorry, with what little strength he had, he would, while scraping his stripped back against the splintery cross, he would try to lift himself up in order to get some oxygen into his lungs. The bleeding inside would fill his lungs, making it very difficult for him to breathe. He was so weak, he couldn't stay lifted up very long, so he would drop back down, causing more pain and causing the blood to fill his lungs again. This went on all while he was on the cross, continually. Keep in mind that to be crucified means death by suffocation. Jesus would go through muscle spasms that would uncontrollably knock his body against that splintery cross, causing more pain. It was uncontrollable. While suffering greatly, he could hear the comments of the people saying things like, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, come down off the cross and save yourself. The soldiers mocked him as well, coming to him, offering him vinegar or a mixture of wine mixed with gall or myrrh. It was mixed with gall, actually. And gall is bile secreted by the liver. It's defecation. Myrrh was used to sweeten or hide the taste. But later, someone filled a sponge with sour wine that was supposed to relieve pain, but he would not drink it. The Lord wouldn't drink it. He didn't allow his pain to be relieved. He continued on with his mission to suffer for mankind. They were also casting lots for his garments. They were gambling, you know. The chief priests with the scribes said among themselves, he saved others. He himself, he cannot save. They just didn't understand. They didn't know that all of this was for them as well as for the rest of the world, for generations. He couldn't come off that cross. Why couldn't he come off the cross? Because love wouldn't let him. His love for us would not let him get off that cross. If he had come off the cross at that time, then the way would not have been made for man to be reconciled to God. He was truly a man of sorrows, according to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. His very heart was broken. And the reason I say that is because he didn't only suffer emotionally, but spiritually and physically. Because after he had died, they pierced his side to see if he was dead. But it caused his heart to literally explode, causing blood and water to come forth out of his side. So his heart was literally broken. Jesus shed his blood so that all of us can be delivered from demonic attacks, every sickness, every disease, any and all kind of danger, and all kind of bondage, the bondage of man, deliverance from a man-made system, deliverance from witchcraft. Yes, through Jesus Christ, we are delivered of all kinds of bondage, be it physical, mental, or spiritual bondage, from demonic possession, depression, obsessions, even from hate and unforgiveness, from loneliness and idolatry, torture and persecutions by man and demons, and deliverance from all kind of sin, and most importantly, deliverance from the wrath of God that is to come. Understand that. The wrath of God is coming. But those of you who have received and keep and hold on to Jesus, you are delivered from the wrath of God. For he is Yeshua Jesus, our deliverer, our Savior. He is our Savior. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with our healed. He didn't say we were healed. He didn't say we will be healed. He said we are healed. No matter how many lashes or stripes they gave him, we are healed with every one. The Lord gave up his spirit. Keep in mind that he willingly gave up his spirit. They couldn't kill him. He said these words in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his spirit. When he said those words, he bowed his head and breathed his last. He released his breath. The word spirit in Hebrew is pronounced ruach, which means to breathe or breath. Therefore, Jesus willingly breathed his breath out of his body. Jesus ministered to the living during his time on earth and to the dead when he preached to the souls in hell. He reconciled us back to the Father. And when the Lord was resurrected, his resurrection power was so powerful that other saints that had died came back to life. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. It was said that they came to life and went into the cities preaching the word of God. All of this is what our Savior suffered just for us. And it is a mystery. It's a mystery between God and Christ. But Paul summed it up beautifully in this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, brought to light, made clearly seen in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, the other nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And now he is the glorified Jesus Christ. His blood is no longer red. It was only red because he walked the shores of Galilee and he was the sacrificial lamb of God. He had to die for our sins. And he took upon the image of fallen natured man. Therefore, his blood was red. But now that he is resurrected, his blood is pure, holy light. God's blood is light. He is covered in glory, bright and glistening glory. He is beautiful and no longer capable of being destroyed. He is forever. He has returned back to his normal glorified state that he had in the eternal. And he has all power, all dominion, and all authority over all the heavens and the earth. And we are now able to be changed into his very likeness and image, that glorified image. He's made it possible that we are able to be changed into that image and live forever in his kingdom and in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you've done. Hallelujah.
The sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon
He's alive now. Praise the Lord. Here's the scriptures for the week. Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his spirit. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless this holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I'm so grateful for many of you who have been very faithful to tune in every week. And you know that we're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And you check your time zone, because it could be 6 p.m. your time. It depends on where you are, okay? And remember, this is a worldwide ministry. A worldwide radio program. So, we're all over the world. So you have to check your time zone wherever you are in the world, and then tune in. We really appreciate it. And keep in mind that if you missed today's broadcast, you can pick it up again. You can pick it up again, anytime this week. Just go ahead and click wherever you see the post of this particular program and click on the link and listen. So we're going to end with Big Daddy Weave, The Lion and the Lamb. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Jesus. The sin of the
job, Lord.